How many years was it before you hired your first assistant?
Probably about three.
Okay.
Three and a half.
Yep. Yeah.
It was first hire. It was someone to come in and lend support for back office issues, servicing, billing, updating contact information and that sort of thing. And that was, you know, too far along. I waited until the need was there. And then you bring them in and they're coming into a blizzard.
Welcome to the podcast dedicated to real estate, insurance, and everything in between. Join us as we take you along our own brokerage building journeys with additional wisdom from our network of business experts. Welcome to Bricks and Risk. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Bricks and Risk. I am Tim Garrity.
And I'm Sean Mooney.
And today, Sean, we're going to be talking about a pretty cool topic in business. It's when to hire an assistant. What are your thoughts on that initially?
Assistants. I'll give you my background and then we'll kind of parse it out from there.
That's a good plan.
I waited way too long. It wasn't that I was, I guess I was hesitant a little bit, for a variety of reasons. But I waited too long. And if I were to talk, I've actually talked to other insurance agents who were getting started or were kind of debating the topic and they're asking me, you know, when or how or this and that. I say, one of the keys is you want to always hire before the need exists.
I would agree with that.
100%, right?
Now, just so we're clear, so everyone understands, you've been in business 11 years.
Yep.
How many years was it before you hired your first assistant?
Probably about three.
Okay.
Three and a half.
Yep. Yeah.
It was first hire. It was someone to come in and lend support for back office issues, servicing, billing, updating contact information and that sort of thing. And that was, you know, too far along. I waited until the need was there. And then you bring them in and they're coming into a blizzard.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't have any chance to get their feet wet. They don't have the time to acclimate. And it's just, you're worse off.
Yes.
How about you guys? Give me the timeline. Was it right for you? What was the first hire? What were they doing?
Yeah, for Copper Hill, so we've been around for 9 years, as we've mentioned before. And for us, I would say it was probably maybe just before 3 years, not much sooner than you. And what kind of prompted us was really, the one thing I like to say is you're hesitant to let go.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's most people's problems in business, as well as, you know, I'm in real estate, you're in insurance. And we're relationship focused. So when you're relationship focused, you're so concerned about the customer service end of taking care of the client that you're very hesitant to let someone else do that for you. And I'm a big Shark Tank guy, which, you know, I love the show.
I do too.
I watch it 5 days a week.
Who's your favorite on the show?
Who's my fave?
Yeah.
It's Kevin O'Leary. It's Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hands down. Not because he's Irish.
I can see that.
I mean, it helps. You know, Dylan's Irish, you're Irish, I'm Irish, and so is Kev. But
is it because he's a jerk?
No. I like his honesty, and I like that he always has a lot of respect for protecting his money. So he has a lot of self-discipline. So we're getting off topic here. But anyway, back to Shark Tank.
Veering back.
So Barbara Corcoran once said on Shark Tank, when it came up to the subject of letting go and letting someone else do the work, she said 80% is good enough. And that always stuck with me because I think everyone thinks it's always going to be around 95 to 100% is what you're going to get out of someone to assist you with the work that needs to be done to service the client. Not only that, but to scale. And that's probably the number one reason why someone chooses to hire an assistant is you're working too much in the business instead of on the business. And if you're too involved with the clients, you're doing every single thing yourself, it's hard. I mean, was that kind of one of the first things for you? Is that why you decided to hire an assistant? Like, what was the main thing besides knowing you needed help at some point? Was there any one thing in particular that made you do it after 3 years?
Yeah, so the need was there. It was just an overwhelming need for an extra set of hands.
Yep.
Right? So the work, the volume, the amount of clients you're dealing with, on our side, it's the new business aspect of it, but it's also the servicing of existing clients. So after a few years, it just becomes a point where there's only so many hours to return so many phone calls, yeah, to handle so many emails that it was just, I couldn't go anymore. Yeah. There were only so many hours in a day. So, you know, having to do that. But I think that looking at it now, and 80%, I think I would agree with, is like you get someone in and if they're able to do 80% of what you're doing,
yep,
something that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think you're given 110, right?
Exactly. So it evens out.
Yeah. So like they're maybe they're not as good as you, but I also like the idea that maybe that person can become better at some things than you were.
100%. I definitely think that's one thing that people, they discount. They look, yeah, at it as like, okay, I need to hire someone who's just like me, who can do the things the way I want them done. And that is, I don't want to say it's ego, but it's just, you're so used to controlling. I mean, the business is your baby. Let's call it like it is. It really is. You're trying to protect that baby. You're just doing everything you can to make sure you're involved as much as possible so that nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
But what happens is, and this happened to us, so we went through a couple of assistants, and this also brings me to my next point, like how long did it take to find the right fit? So for us, you know, we had about three. So it wasn't until we landed on our third, which is Marcy McBride. And she was more or less like our office admin to start. So she, yeah, was doing transactional work in the real estate deals. She was doing some administrative work for the company. You know, she was looking after some of the bills, like office supplies, like just eyes and
ears. What was her background prior to Copper Hill?
Believe it or not, she was an attorney. So her husband, is in the Navy, or he's not anymore.
She'd be okay if we're talking about her.
Yeah, I think she'd be cool with it. So they were moving around for the military.
Yeah.
And they landed on Philadelphia because he was going to Penn for grad school.
Yeah.
So prior to Philadelphia, they were out in Seattle, where she actually started her own law practice, family law. And what also I think, you know, really helped when we started working together. Again, we just met through like friends of friends, yeah, was that she was super entrepreneurial. So she was running her own practice in Seattle, even though she was an attorney, like she started a business. And when she came here to Philadelphia and she saw what we were doing, we were just doing it something different. Now law, you know, family law doesn't pertain, but law in general is a good segue into real estate because there's so many legalities. So she came in based off of that. And honestly, she was just like doing everything to the point where we looked at it as like, you know, Marcy, we want you to be more on the operation side. So like you're a little bit more high level than admin.
Yeah.
And let's bring in a part-time admin to take care of the all like the small things like the dotting of I's, crossing of T's, like checking mail, like supplies, you know, basic things that just need to be done. And that's how we found our next assistant. But Marcy was our third. So we had a couple trials where, you know, they weren't at 80. And Marcy came in and was well above that. But back to your original question is some of the things she did that were better than, let's say, than I could do were really in like finding efficiencies, spending the time with our tech system, with our CRM platform, which is called HubSpot, where she was able to like use that to make the transaction smoother, to make everyone's lives easier. Like people are sharing more, collaborating more.
Did she have to learn that system?
She did. She was self-taught. So she...
No prior experience on...
No.
Yeah.
She kind of has a little bit of a tech mind. Mm-hmm. Just like in general, like her skill set.
Yeah.
And yeah, she figured that out. But let's jump back to you. So 3 years in.
Yep.
Is the assistant that you had then the assistant that you have now?
No.
Okay. How many assistants have you had since that first one? All right. Let's be honest, man. Is it in the teens?
No. Five?
That's not bad.
Five. Yeah.
5 and 11 years is not.
No.
And is it anything above and beyond like traditional administrative work, or is it more like administrative, a little bit of operations or sales component? Is there anything client facing?
Yeah, a ton of client facing.
Okay. So that's good.
Yeah.
So that's different.
Yep. I think the first few that I had in was just couldn't get the expectations right. And it was kind of like a juggling act of me allowing to let go and that person not delivering on what I wanted and just me being comfortable enough with the work they were doing. So a variety of reasons why some didn't work out.
Yeah.
But the woman I have now who basically runs the office.
What's her name, by the way?
Trudy.
Okay. How long has Trudy been in her
role? Almost 3 years with me.
That's good.
Right now. Yeah. And she does a fabulous job of dealing with clients on the phone, dealing with new prospects who are calling in, dealing with carriers, dealing with, you know, you name it, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the attributes that you kind of talked about with Marcy are probably the same with Trudy, in that a little bit of entrepreneurial, because family businesses in the, you know, previously.
Okay.
And I think that helps, because I think that allows them to understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, you know, this way and that kind of thing. Having a building rapport with all of our vendors and clients and prospects, does a great job with them, and, you know, is a like efficient worker, like worker, you know,
hard worker.
And I think all of those kind of work with my working style.
Yep.
And so I think that's one of the reasons, a lot of the main reasons why she's been with me the longest and has, you know, been the best so far. So.
Gotcha. Hey everyone, this is Tim, your favorite Bricks and Risk co-host, but don't tell Sean. I hope you're enjoying this episode, and I'll get right back to it in a moment. Our audience grows through word of mouth. So if you would please take a moment of your time and give us a review on the platform you're on, that would be fantastic. Please also help spread the BNR word by sharing your favorite episode with a friend. We greatly appreciate your time and trust. Now, back to the show. It's funny you mentioned like that last part regarding like being a hard worker. I think I'll give a good example from my perspective at Copper Hill. So, you know, when you build this company, as you know, you put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
And then when you put your heart and soul into it, you are willing to work first thing in the morning till the last minute at night, Monday through Sunday. Like, let's be honest. Like, sometimes our wives and families have to pull us away from what we're doing because we are so dedicated. Let's go back to that baby analogy. You just want to see that baby do well. You want to make sure it's fed, it's rested, has everything it needs. And
I think it's fear of failure. I think it's that's
part of it.
You are deathly afraid that if I don't call this person back, if I don't get this, if I don't do that, then I'm going to lose out, or that, you know, someone else will be, you know, it's just,
it's that a fear,
constant, like a nagging.
And it's almost like a fear of, like, if you lose someone, you feel like they're never coming back, which is not true.
No.
But back to my, my thought was that with that assistant, it's almost like you want them to think the way you think. You're like, if something comes through at 7 o'clock at night, and it needs to be addressed, and it's in your, you know, it's what you're supposed to, it's your
lane.
In your
domain.
It's your lane, let's call it. If it's your lane and 7 o'clock on a Tuesday and it needs to get done, like, I kind of want you to do it. Like, the clock doesn't stop at 5. Now, again, we got to be reasonable. Just
wait, you're saying that is like today, or that's when you first?
I'm saying it's like at any time during this, it was like, I want these people to work as hard and care as much as I want. But I will say, once I got to someone like Marcy, here's where I'm going with this. She doesn't necessarily do it at 7 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, but she's always got her eye on the ball that if it is something on like a Saturday and it's urgent, like, she'll jump on it. Or if I see it and I just text her or I give her a quick call, I was like, hey, you know, this is like, can we get this done like before Monday or something like that? Like, she's on it. Whereas, like, I've had other assistants prior to Marcy where they really wanted to clock in and clock out. And they only looked at it as a job. Whereas I feel like once you have like a Trudy, I'm assuming, just like with Marcy, they have a little bit of that. There's that level of like, you know what? I'm willing to go a little bit above and beyond because I really love what I'm doing. And I believe in the growth and success of this baby that you and I have built as individuals. Like, have you gotten that sense from Trudy and or any of your other admins?
So I think this could be a whole nother topic for a whole nother segment.
It could.
Right. And the duty as a business owner is A, to develop a culture, to have them buy in.
Yep.
Right? And it's hard to do. And I would say the vast majority of people, employees out there, don't view it as such. But I think it's like a willingness on the employee side to think like, all right, if I do this, if I'm willing to do this, this is going to help the company. This has helped me grow within the company, add more responsibility, and, you know, and rising tides float all ships.
Yeah.
And so there's a big responsibility that I take that I need to build a culture that makes an employee think that.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, culture is huge because at the end of the day, that's what makes people comfortable and that's what makes people stay. All right, here's one last thing I think we can kind of dive into a little bit on this topic. Did it make a difference in your business? So when you hired that first admin, and then I'll make a quick point, I'll let you answer. Like, when we hired our first admin, do you know what it felt like? It felt like we were doing double work. It felt like it's like I'm doing every single thing that I have to do. Now I have to put in all this work to show someone else how to do it. And then on top of that, then I have to check it to make sure the baby is healthy again. I'll go back to that. So did it make a difference for you?
So it absolutely makes a difference, right? You can't go forward. You can't grow. You can't, there's a lot of things you can't do unless that seat is filled by having an executive, admin, assistant, whatever.
Yep.
Because there's only so much you can do. So I will say that from having a requirement to grow, you need that. So I will say that it absolutely did make a difference. Now a lot more of a difference than some of my earlier employees, because now I'm literally just having, you know, we're like, part of our day, I feel like, is just rerouting emails.
Yep.
Who's responsible for this? Who's, you know, who's responsible for this? This is, this goes back in here. This goes, we have a whole
warm handoffs, things like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Trudy, on that email to that customer, can you please handle this, or can you do A, B, C, D, whatever it is? And you're almost like communicating through the email to like,
it say, is, it's an email back with a CC with Trudy on there.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, we'll jump on this. We'll get this done for you. Trudy, take a look. If there's anything else you need, let me know, and try to just push it.
And then you're like, Trudy, how long is it going to take you to respond? Like,
is this done?
I mean, like, come on. I mean, we talked about the 80%, but seriously, how long is it going to take?
No. Yeah. So does it make a difference? It makes, when you have the ability to hand something off and not think about it again.
Yeah.
It's a big load it's off huge. Of your shoulders.
It's absolutely huge.
Now, I will say that in the beginning, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's training and checking and making sure that I's are dotted. And so there is a period of time early on when it's a little bit harder. You're slogging through. You are doing double work. You are doing more work. But the hope is, in the end, that you're alleviating a lot of that work.
Agreed.
I mean, for you guys, I mean, yeah. With Marcy now, I mean, you take Marcy out,
it'd be awful. Be absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And then you think about the time it would take to just find someone else to hopefully be
50% like of Marcy.
A percentage of what she is.
Yeah.
And then work it up, which, you know, is insane. So I'd rather not have that thought, but thanks for bringing it up.
That's a nightmare.
Well, that's all we have for this one, guys. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of Bricks and Risk. Take care. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Bricks and Risk. Our goal is that you walk away with one or two valuable nuggets, and we greatly appreciate you sharing your time with us today. You can find all BNR episodes on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and anywhere else you get your podcast content. Until next time, keep learning and keep growing.